Guess what? I'm telling it. That's right, and I'm gonna keep on telling it. Some of it you're gonna like, some of it you ain't. If you got something to say, give me a call.
That's Don Cheadle as Petey Green in the new movie Talk to Me. It's based on the life of Petey Green, a streetwise Washington, D.C. radio talk show host in the 60s and 70s. He talked about race, politics, and whatever he thought was on his listeners' minds. Green got his start in prison as a DJ on the prison PA system. He was doing time for armed robbery. One of his fellow inmates was the brother of the program director at WOL, a black-oriented AM station in Washington. After Green got out of prison in 1965, he went to WOL and insisted that the program director, Dewey Hughes, put him on the air. Hughes saw potential in Green and decided to take a chance on him. Considering Green's prison record and his problems with alcohol, it was a big chance. But it paid off. Green was a success on WOL and later got his own TV show. The real Dewey Hughes was a consultant on the film and is my guest, along with the film's director, Casey Lemons. She also made the films Eve's Bayou and The Caveman's Valentine. Here's a scene from early in Talk to Me. Dewey Hughes, played by Chiwetel Ejiofor, is trying to convince his station manager, played by Martin Sheen, that they should put Green on the air.
I've been hoodwinked. You are out of your mind if you think I'm going to put this person on the air.
Sir, I know this is unorthodox.
Unorthodox? It's insane.
Sir, hear me out. This man has a unique voice. I just have a feeling.
I have much more than just a feeling.
Sir, we need to put somebody on the air in the next 2 minutes or we go black.
Black, black, black.
Frida, run after Jim. He might still be in the building.
Sir, we don't have time. You're just going to have to trust me. One show. One shot.
Casey Lemons, Dewey Hughes, welcome to Fresh Air. I'd like you to start by describing Petey Green's radio style. And Dewey, since you work with him and you heard him, why don't you give it a shot first?
Well, he had no style. That was his style. No one, not even Petey, knew what he was going to do when he opened the mic. And he carried his work with him. So if he was drunk the night before, he might open up talking about being drunk the night before. And it went from there. That was the beauty of being connected to someone like him.
So he would talk. He would talk to listeners also through the phone and play records too?
He did not play records. He would talk exclusively to listeners. And it was the first time that the black community in Washington, D.C. had an opportunity to call, whether their grammar was correct or not, and speak their mind. And if they wanted to talk about a neighbor being drunk and throwing their liquor bottles over in their yards, they would do that. And there was no place else for them to do publicly share that kind of information. Most people thought it was frivolous. Petey... He didn't feel that way. There was an absence of those voices on the airways, and that's what Petey was all about, really.
Dewey Hughes, you first heard Petey Green being a disc jockey in prison when you were visiting your brother there, and your brother.
Well,
and go ahead.
Right, I did not hear him in the visiting room, but I heard about him all the time from my brother and other people. So I heard him in spirit. But visitors went to visit, the inmates, and I went to visit my brother. And before that, I knew the legend of Petey Green at Lorton. And the first time seeing Petey, I didn't see his face. I saw a man sitting there with some green alligator shoes on, and I nudged my brother and I said, "Is that guy an inmate?" And he said, "Yeah." And then he said, "Foo, that's Petey Green." I said, "How in the hell does somebody?" He says, "Petey Green." And that was my first sighting of Petey. But I'd heard about him, and he was a legend. And one day my brother said, "Petey's going to be getting out of jail, and would you help him get on the radio?" And I asked him, "How long did Petey have?" He said, 10 years. I said, "Yeah, well, I'll help him." Yeah. And next thing I knew, he was at the station, and that's how it began.
Yeah, he got out early and surprised
Real
you.
Early.
Casey, the way you depict it in your movie, Petey Greene and Dewey Hughes kind of were two flip sides of a coin, and they kind of completed each other. Would you describe that kind of relationship, like how what they had in common and how they were different?
Well, I was very informed by a conversation that I had had with Dewey over lunch, and the way that he talked about Petey, and the words, the specific words that he used, and also his body language in talking about him. So in some ways, I had studied Dewey, and the things that he said to me, he said, for instance, he said, "We fell in love." And I thought that was a wonderful way of describing this friendship, and that they could work together all day and then go home and call each other. And also, just in knowing Dewey, who the first time I met him had on the most incredible suit I've ever seen. It's like, oh, my God, a king has walked in. And then you talk to him for a while and you realize the stories when he gets into his brother's being in prison. And I was so moved by this contrast that's in him as a man and in the character. So really, that was the interesting thing, to have a character that appears to be one thing in, until you begin to scratch the surface, and then there's a complete other a man underneath. And Dewey said to me he didn't want to disappoint his mother and end up like his brothers that were incarcerated. And I thought, I thought it was very powerful. And so you have this man who's really self-made into an ideal of what a man is supposed to be in his eyes. And then you have Petey, who's, Petey. Petey's just Petey. He is what he is. It's like, what you see is what you get. That's Petey.
How did you decide to cast Don Cheadle as Petey Greene?
Well, because the character of Petey, he's a difficult character, you know. He can be abrasive. And so I knew you wanted an actor that was deep enough to pull off the outrageousness, and yet was an actor that was so attractive that you naturally move towards them. And Cheadle has this quality that you are drawn to him, even when, for instance, in Devil in the Blue Dress, he's playing a killer. Mm-hmm. You still kind of love him, you know what I mean? And I thought that was a really great quality for Petey Greene to have. And I knew Don not very well, but I knew him well enough to know that he was funny. and just tremendously talented. And so I thought he'd be a great choice.
How did you go about dressing him?
Well, it's funny. We went through a lot of magazines. Gersha Phillips, the costume designer, who I think is just extraordinary, she and I would go through tons of old Ebony magazines. It's really funny because one thing you realize is that you can't go too far. I mean, it's amazing what people actually wore, you know. And, you know, these models with a very serious expression on their face, you know, while they're wearing mesh underwear, you know. So we really got a lot of it from magazines. And then a huge amount of it was actually vintage. Some of it she created, but very much based on authentic, you know, outrageous fashions at the time. And also we had some photographs of Petey. And imitated some of the clothes that we saw him actually wear in photographs.
In Talk to Me, Casey Lemons, you portray what happens in Washington, D.C. right after Martin Luther King is assassinated, and there's rioting and looting in the streets. Parts of the city are burning down. And in the movie, the Dewey Hughes character asked Petey Greene to, like, you know, go on the air and calm things down. I think it's like your boss who asked Petey Greene to do that. Could you share your memories of what Petey Greene did on the air right after King's assassination?
Well, I mean, he did exactly what Casey shared with us in the movie. It was brilliant. He connected with the community. He reminded them that Dr. King would not be a happy man right now. And that resonated deep and wide. And she depicted that brilliantly.
And then the next night there was a James Brown concert in Washington, and Petey Greene introduced it in the movie. He shows up late. He's drunk. Did it happen that way?
Does it matter? James Brown came to D.C., gave a concert, and me and Petey, by the request of the Khmer and the council members, got James Brown to come from Boston to Washington. And that's what happened. And the only thing he wanted was to go up on Capitol Hill and have his words in the Congressional Record. And that's exactly what happened. So Casey put a creative touch to it, and it's brilliant.
Now, in the movie, Dewey Hughes, you're portrayed as having learned about fine suits and standard English from modeling yourself on Johnny Carson while watching The Tonight Show. Did you watch The Tonight Show and model yourself on Carson?
Every night. I never missed a show. My sister, my baby sister, would always wake me up to watch Johnny Carson.
So what did he mean to you?
Everything. I thought I could be him. But I knew because of the color of my skin, I'd never get a shot. But so I lived vicariously through Johnny Carson. So when I got an opportunity to have someone that maybe I could interest Johnny Carson, it was Petey Green, I used it. It took me 3 years to convince them to give Petey a shot.
And what happened that night?
Well, Petey got drunk, and he sabotaged it. Petey used being drunk not to do the show. He had no intentions of doing the show. I mean, we'd been there before, but I didn't think he was going to blow Johnny Carson. It was like, you know, the standoff. But he always sabotaged the real good stuff because D.C. was his base. He didn't want outside of D.C. All of that was my dream. Mm-hmm. And we were very clear on that. You know, so he went along when I was hoping that maybe he would go out on Johnny Carson and just do his Petey Green thing and impress the audience and become a hero across the country. But he didn't want that.
Now, the period that the movie is set in, late 60s, early 70s, is a period in which you were basically a child. You kind of missed out on the culture and politics of the period. Okay. What do you find most interesting about it? Because you had to immerse yourself in it to actually make the film.
Well, yeah, I immersed myself in it to the point where when we would go on the street and people were, walking around in 2006, they looked weird to me. I mean, we were living in the late 60s the whole time we were making the movie. I had one incredible memory. I had a memory of my mother screaming and a sound I've never heard before since came out of her. And she kept screaming. She kept screaming, and I went into the other room, and she was rocking back and forth and keening. I mean, it was really, as a very young child, completely terrifying to hear your mother in this state. And she said, I thought she said, the king is dead. And I said, what king? And so too young to know really who Martin Luther King was, I will never forget the sound that my mother made. And so in some ways, that was one of my entry points into the story and into the period. You know, when I would do research on the King assassination, one of the things that struck me was that people dropped dead on the spot. Heart attacks, aneurysms, you know, people dropped dead on the spot, fell to their knees and screaming, you know, God, why not me? And I thought, wow, this is incredible. When we really look back at this time, to think that of the things that really happened in this country fairly recently and what we've been through. I mean, we're so in some ways isolated from the trauma and of that time. You know, it was a very, very violent and interesting time and yet a time full of possibility. And so there's something that I wanted to bring home to an audience that might not have experienced it. I wanted them to feel like they were there.
Where were you when King was assassinated?
I was in Boston. And, you know, I just remember my mom screaming. It was interesting, actually. It's an even longer story. My older sister decided we would go to the movies. And I don't know if in my mind this was related to directly right after words. Maybe my mother sent us to the movies. So she could kind of grieve alone. But we went to the movies, and the subway was stopped in the middle of a tunnel. No, I guess we pulled into a station, but it wasn't the station that we were supposed to get off at, and they made everyone get off at the train. And it was lines of police, and they looked to me like the army. Anyway, the Boston riots had broken out rioting had broken out. And so I was separated from my mother. Of course, this was before, way before cell phones, right? So my sister and I, who were children, were trapped in Harvard Square. My mother, finding out about this, came to look for us. And we didn't find her for a day.
Wow.
Hippies took us home. You know, I can remember the beaded curtain in this girl's house. And in retrospect, she must have been a very young woman, took us in. You know, but I was really young, and it was an adventure to me. So I actually had a direct experience, even though I was very young.
Wow!
What a frightening series of events that whole thing was.
Yeah. It was a story that I told every single person involved in the movie, talked through it with the actors and the crew, because you know we were shooting in Canada. And not even all of our actors were African-American. We had a British Nigerian and Caribbean Canadians. And so just to get them into a time and place where we were going to recreate that moment and what that experience felt like, I told everybody my story.
What do you remember of the funeral for Petey Greene in, was it 1982? He died of cancer at the age of 53.
I didn't come to the funeral.
You
wanted me
to
come and speak. They wanted me to come and speak, but I was afraid that if I'd gotten up behind the podium, I would have cursed a lot of people in the audience out who were there crying about Petey, and they didn't love Petey at all. So I passed on the funeral.
In what sense did you think that they were hypocritical?
I knew they were hypocritical. They didn't like Petey. They used to tell me they didn't like him. They used to ask me why I put him on the air. I mean, council members, congressmen, teachers, principals, policemen, government workers, fathers who you know, had kids and stuff, they thought he was an embarrassment.
What were their objections?
It was at a time when blacks were coming into their suits and ties and their upward mobility. The poverty program was kicking and stuff. And everybody was trying to go establishment. Petey was anti-establishment. I mean, he didn't sound like anybody else. He didn't think like anybody else. And everybody felt, especially a lot of the blacks, felt that he was an embarrassment. So, you know, they should have somebody who wasn't an ex-con on the air, somebody who, you know, graduated. All of those points were good, but I had those people on the air, too. So it wasn't like Petey was the only one.
Well, Casey Lemons, Dewey Hughes, thank you both so much for talking with us.
Thank you for having us.
Casey Lemons directed the new film Talk to Me. Dewey Hughes is played in the film by Chiwetel Ejiofor.